Welcome to Creating Cashflow for April 2nd, 2023. Karen Eileen, you're a cash flow cat and you need some focus regarding your voiceover coaching business, online workshop, keynotes, speaking, fabulous. Okay, I received three questions today, like three forms from folks, and they were so good and are covering so much good stuff that I'm going to devote our time to these three. So, yeah, I think so. Unless, you know, we whip through them faster. But first of all, Victory reports Karen Eileen found an error on her business insurance that meant a $300 credit back to her. Woohoo, woohoo. She finished Money Mindset. Woohoo. And said yes to a new audiobook client and set my policy as working in chunks of 10 hours at a time and got paid in advance because that's amazing. Hey, let me ask you about that deal with the new audiobook client. How did that feel to be like, this is how I work and this is how much and you can just pay me now?
This is a lot of what I've heard from you over the years. Like, what would they need to pay me for me to take myself away from my life and devote myself to this project? And I just thought what would make me really happy is to get that lump of money up front. And they're in the friends and family realm. I'm still working on that, but I still do have a friends and family rate. I still feel like that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is my policy. Thank you so much. If you're okay with that, great. If not, I understand. And I know you'll find somebody else. I was willing to walk away from it, even though I need the cash.
But right?
Yeah, that was huge for me. I've never done that before, at least as with as much awareness. And I was like, it'll be yes or no. If they're like, oh, we can't do that, I'd be like, great. I know you'll find the right person. If it's yes, I'd be like, great. Happy to hear how would you like to pay me? Here's three different ways you can pay me. As soon as I get the funds, I start work. And they were like, here you go.
Yes.
It was a victory.
I am so proud of you with this particular victory because I know you would like to get the job. And so often when we need to get the job, we'll nickel and dime and lower our rates and just because we want to get it, but you have zero leverage. If you are willing to move away and be like, here's how I work, like, you know, there's my best rate for you. Yes. Take it or leave it, whatever. Yes. And the thing about if they say no, what that gives you is time to go find other work that will pay you at the rates versus like, oh, I'll squeeze my price down to where I'm resenting kind of doing this work because I know I'm not getting what I need to get from it. And then you do the work and then you barely get any. It's like, it is worth when you start valuing energy more and being like, here's how I work. I'm not giving a lot of energy towards whether or not you say yes or no. Right. And if you say no, me and all my energy are going to go over here and do this thing.
Me and all my energy. That's cool. So good.
Yeah, but I don't need to chase money. I don't need to fight for it. I don't need to squeeze myself and give even more energy for it. I need to get this so I can deliver to you with spaciousness. So I'm not just this like husk of a person after the job. So yes. Good. Now, and it worked. And they said yes. And they were like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, yeah, great, 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 great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So this is possible.
Yes.
This is not now. The next step is sometimes people do this and then they go, well, it was lucky. It was a friend. It was a fluke.
Right.
No.
If I charge my full rate, that'll never happen.
How about we just tell the story of, well, that works. Feels great doing it. Let me try to do that again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, I'm so happy for you. That's really, really great.
It was a big win.
Okay. So I'm going to go with the second question first. What's a good set of starter tasks for warming up a very cool to cold old client list? It's never really cold if you've worked with them before.
Even if it's been like a lot of years, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet if they heard your name, they would know who you are.
Okay.
And they would probably have good feelings about you. That's what a warm list is. Okay. Oh, I know Karen Eileen and she's awesome.
Okay.
That's warm.
Okay.
Hot is like, oh my God, you're amazing. How can I help you? Like, let's do this. Like, woo. I just talked to you, within the year. Like, it's more just recent. But warm is just like warm feelings towards you, and they know who you are. Cold is you don't know who I am, or maybe you've heard of me 5 years ago, but let me refresh your memory.
That's a great new definition. That's not the story I was telling myself. Okay.
Yeah, a warm list doesn't necessarily need their memory refreshed about you. They
Oh,
might
yeah.
need to know what you're doing now,
Okay.
but they don't need to be, who is this person? Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so
Great.
you have a warm client list, and you're, literally putting together a list of everyone who's ever hired you with contact information and dates. I am so proud of you. That is activity linked directly to you getting cash. That's excellent activity. Also, you wrote, I have a little baby client mailing list of about 200 people from the voiceover world. Great. Fantastic. So when you say, okay, what's the set of starter tasks for warming them up? The first question I have is, okay, what are we warming them up for? What is the, what are we doing? What's the end goal? And how can we make that a space between you and the end goal as short as possible?
Fantastic question. I would say I have two goals, and I'm not sure how to blend these on an ongoing basis. The first goal is to offer value and just beam them some love and support because I really honestly do cherish everybody who's ever connected with me and joined my list. I want to beam them with love and nourishment. And the second one is I'd like to have something awesome to offer them to sign up for. And my visions are in that other question.
Okay,
So,
great. So the other question, you wanted to have some strategy, game plan. There's four different places of focus, possible cash creation. Where should you go first? What order? What?
there's
Okay.
more than that, but I'm like, let me please at least chunk it down to four.
Yeah. Okay. So one, I'm going to say all four. One is a voiceover monthly subscription community, voiceover castle, something like that. Two, a single shorter term offering for voiceover, 90-day mentorship, 4-week voiceover foundation, something like that. Three, a radical self-care video course, which is something you and I have talked about in the past. So that's sort of like even beyond the voiceover community, it could be expanded to
Yes, and that
people.
could be a monthly private thing as well, like a private community if there's enough call for that.
Number four, ramping up your National Speakers Association profile, offering to attract more clients from that. Okay, I'm giving you my opinion. You can
Please.
just take it for what it's worth. I would say for now, no on number one. The monthly subscription community thing looks great on paper when you lay out all the numbers and you're like, if I charge this and get this many people, it'll be this much recurring in. Getting the people is a job, J-O-B, unless you have 10,000 people and you can immediately get 100 or whatever in your group. It's like, no, it's a lot more work than people anticipate. And we want you to get cash now. So I'm interested in number two, because that is a shorter path to cash. The radical self-care video course. I'd say no for now. Forget it. Put it on the back burner for later. Course development takes a lot of time and energy. Plus, you want the only, well, not the only, but the best way to do it is to sell it first and create it as you do your first beta thing.
I've heard that. I don't really understand what that is yet, but I've had more than one person say that that's a great way to go.
And because you create this whole course and get all the videos and write all the things and do all the things, and no one will want it. You'll find they'll want a piece of it. And you're like, oh man, I should have just sold this little thing. But if you
I
go, I'm
see.
doing this thing, this is what we're going to learn in this amount of time. Let me get my first group of people, and I'm giving a week of content, and I'm working on the next weeks. They're digesting that, giving me feedback of what I'm seeing what they like. And oh, they're not understanding. Oh, maybe we need 3 weeks on just this. Oh, maybe I have too much content here. Maybe I only need, like, it tells you so much when you're actually working with people going through it. So many people spend all the time creating the thing, and it's like, no. So later. Plus, you need a little stronger marketing muscle, because it's the marketing that sells the courses. If you were saying to me, I have all the space in the world, and all I want to do is focus on creating a course and building it out and marketing this one thing that's a high ticket thing, then yes. Sure. But that's yes. not your situation. No. So later. Now, okay. Ramping up, I definitely think you should, you know, do whatever you need to do to get your National Speakers Association profile to look good in whatever way that means. But yeah. I think that's like a thing to have, sort of like an IMDb page, or it's like good to have it. Okay. But the real thing about speaking is you having that $5,000 offer and then offering it.
Yes. And the reel, like everyone talks about a speaker's reel, which I don't but yet
you
have.
Don't have to, that's the thing is like, if you go from the angle of, well, I want to be a speaker and have people hire me from the National Speakers Association, that's a whole dealio that you have to have a reel for.
Yes.
But if you want to sell $5,000 speaking engagements, you don't need a reel.
I see.
You just need to have something people are interested in hearing about that then they'll pay you for and book you for the thing.
I really need to hear that. Okay.
You being on. Yeah. So the two things is the offer.
Okay.
So I would focus on these two offers.
Okay.
A 90-day, a 4-week, something you think your clients can easily say yes to.
Okay.
That you can easily deliver. That will be very valuable to them. Not something they need, but something they want.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
They want a burger. They don't want a salad. And most people are out there selling, you know, steak versus the sizzle. Another way to say is the burger versus the salad. Oh, yeah. You know what you need? Fresh veggies and some tomato and the thing and some nuts and some protein. And it's like, you know what I want? A fucking burger. Yeah. So could
you, or a Sunday. Thank you.
Give me a salad on the side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll all be happy. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah. Offers. And now, so then going back to like, how do I warm up my list? Mm-hmm. I love the idea, and it is how you should do it, where, you know, you're communicating with people,
yeah,
and you're giving things for free that are valuable.
Yeah.
And then you let them know, or you have it constantly in your email, but it's also just good to actively let them know that there's this offer.
Okay.
Even better,
yes,
is to have the offer and every single email is actually talking about it, why they should get the offer. And that's pushing the bruise, talking about the problems, talking about where they're at, talking about what's going on in their head and how you have a solution to all this. And you could do this and this is how we could work together. And so it's the difference between, I'm just making all of this stuff up for an illustration. It's the difference between you know, you have this scratchy thing that happens when you're ready to hop on the mic, and here's how to help with that. Do this tip that you do this thing. It's 3 steps. Here are the steps. Bye. Versus, you know, that thing where you have the scratchy thing in your throat when you're about to hop on the mic and you're like, and you're stressed out because you're like, wait, it was fine just a second ago, but now I'm here. And you know, there's several things that could be going on. It could be anxiety. It could be that you're not actually as warmed up as you think. And so if it's anxiety, we'd really need to focus on your, you know, when it's anxiety, when I have a client who, and it's anxiety, we work on this kind of thing. We'll work on this and this. Mm-hmm. If it's a client, we figure out it's a physical thing. Maybe they need more vocal rest the night, you know, we'll examine that. So it could be this.
Okay.
So I want you to think about anxiety, see if it's physical, and, or it could be blah, blah, blah. Like the temperature is wrong in the room, or maybe you need a humidifier, some physical environmental adjustment.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it could be, but you could certainly start investigating those 3 things. And it's definitely something that I'm always looking for. for, you know, when I work with clients, we're definitely looking at what their mental game is, what their physical game is, and what their environmental game is. So you see, I'm selling my offer, but also giving them some information, but not just going, here's some great information. Hope you think of me. Bye. I'm not actually going to tell you that I could work with you or that I work with other people about this. I'm just going to give you a tip. You know what the world doesn't need? Another fucking tip. We have all the information we need. What people want is to go, oh my God, she totally understands my problem. Oh, she works with people just like me. Oh, and she knows like what to work at. Oh God, maybe I should get some help with this because I've been stewing on it. So if you're going to do quote, like a newsletter, some kind of connection, maybe twice a month, but each time you're actually selling, you're saying, you have a problem. I have solutions. Here's a little bit to start with, but this is a longer conversation, which is absolutely true.
But I'm not saying, and this is very important to me, at the end of every one of these things, and here's the link for my program.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I am saying that.
Or you just embed a link. Like if you're typing this out, then it's something that would be like, you know, so okay. What I'm doing when I work with clients is I'm looking at their anxiety or their mental game, their physical and their environmental. And you take a phrase when I work with clients and just make that a link.
Oh.
People are like, when she works with clients.
Okay. I need a mental adjustment here. Somebody somewhere from the on-camera world, a teacher once told me, and this really stuck, it has to be 3-to-1. So for every 4 posts you make anywhere, 3 of them should just be love and light and nourishment and beaming them with goodness. No mention of services. Mm-hmm. And 1 of them should be, and here's my link. And now that's, I don't know.
Have totally heard that too. Gary Vaynerchuk wrote a whole book, Jab, Punch, which is about give. And then like, no, that's really good advice. Because what most people do when they start to quote unquote market or sell is just like buy. So that advice is well suited to the phase 1 people who is like, let's just dial this. Let me teach
you. Okay.
And then ask.
I got it.
However, phase 2 is, well, if you can learn how to do it both at the same time, that just saves everybody a lot of time.
All right.
That's what I'm suggesting. Be artful. Okay. Help, but also go. The thing that people need the most encouragement around and education around is that they can't actually transform, shift, elevate their career in a tip or a collection of tips. It's just not going to happen. And I think the more coaches just say, look, this is a larger conversation. You want to get deeper in this, then let's have a private, let's have some time together to really untie this knot. I can point out that the knot exists.
Yeah.
But if you really want to unravel it, here's the thing you should buy.
Whoa. All right. That's a whole different thing than I've been thinking. I'm going to marinate in that. That's very, very good shift.
And here's the thing, Karen Eileen, you can do it. You should do it. You can build these muscles. You need to just force yourself to do it. Cause I think for you, it's a little hiding behind love and light, love, give, and little ass. I'm like, nope. Because this isn't the only thing you have going on in your life.
Correct.
You have a little bit of time during a month to send out 2 of these emails to your list. Okay. So they have to be robust working for you emails, not long. I don't mean long email. I mean, they have to work for you emails because you can only have time to send out 2.
No, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was thinking,
oh, you had maybe a marketing team. Sure.
I would love a marketing team. That's on my vision board. But twice a week, that was my other question that you answered was like, how often?
Twice a month, I said.
Oh, yes. I'm thinking it was supposed to be every week, twice a month.
You could do every week if you want.
It feels too much.
I think at this point, I don't think you have the time to do every
week. I don't have the bandwidth.
Because I would rather you do twice a month for that particular offer and then spend the time you would have spent doing 2 extra emails on the $5,000 offer.
Yes. Okay.
going after those people because they're on a different mailing list or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So then what are you going to offer your...
So it's such a great question. So the two ideas that I have are something that I've offered once before. I offered it last year because somebody else suggested that I try it, was a 90-day voiceover mentorship. And it was really good and it was a lot of work for me. So I charged a certain amount of money, but I didn't understand how much prep time I would do. I kept it very small, which was nice. So it's like, I could do that again and bring forward what I've learned and try and make it more peaceful.
What were, who took you up on that offer? How many people?
Let me think about this. Six people. And then I had one scholarship person.
Of those seven people, what was like the main problems?
Such a great question. You know, what's really interesting, like so many of them just had a problem with like self-confidence and self-worth with their storytelling. They were new or new-ish and had heard a lot of things and they were like, I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if this file's good enough. Maybe I'm not booking because I'm really not supposed to be in this industry. Like it was really like the mental game. So I did a lot of work on voiceover mindset because that was, I mean, there was technical things like what do I do to this file and how do I set up my studio? There was all of that. So we dealt with anything, but I think the through line was, I'm a little nervous to even be sending this in or even attempting this. So.
So how much did you charge?
I charged $1,500 for the 90 days.
Okay. And you got six people to give you that.
I did. And I did a pre-interview, like, because my friend who suggested I start it was like, please talk to these people for 15 minutes and call it a pre-interview to make sure they're a fit. And I was like, I love that idea. So I did that. And then in they came.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the reason I asked that question is voiceover mentorship is sort of like, we'll talk about whatever you need to talk about.
All it kind of was like that in the beginning. So it was very broad.
Which is fine. It just sort of sets you up, I think, to do a lot of work. And it sets you up to attract a certain person who kind of like, I know, like I'm pretty sure like she can help me.
Okay.
Whereas if it was something like, we need a catchy name, but I don't know if my stuff is good enough. Like get your confidence in all aspects of your voice of like, you know, there needs to be a name for this, but it's sort of like a confidence thing of like, we're going to look at your submissions. We're going to look at your mic. We're going to like, whatever those things are, we're going to look at the stories you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
We're going to like, you know how I said, we're going to look at your mental game, your physical and your environmental.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that covers all three things.
Yeah.
Like people can wrap their head around, okay, she's going to look at this and this and this. We're going to look at your thing. We're going to look, all your bases are going to be covered after this time with me. You are going to feel like you can step up and do quality professional work in the booth. You know, like I'm putting words in your mouth now, but something you can deliver on that people are insecure about.
Okay.
That you can lead them through over a period of time.
Interesting.
But that has a real container around it.
Okay.
Because that'll be easier for you.
Yeah. The thing that I, please.
No, say.
The thing that I love doing the most, which this is maybe a conversation for our next gathering, but I was a speaker at VoiceOver Atlanta a couple of years ago, remotely. It was a remote version. And I did two breakouts and an X session. The X session is a 3-hour long, like really one-on-one-ish kind of thing. And I did energy work for voiceover artists. And that was maybe one of the favorite things that I've ever taught in my life. So I brought in my Reiki and my yoga and my meditation, But I focused it all on how do you bring that into your booth? How do you bring that into your storytelling? How do you bring that into like your troubleshooting your files? I thought maybe it was a little too niche to be like, because not everybody cares about energy work or would sign up for something like that, but I love teaching it. And I've been in that world my whole life, so I feel like it's one of my superpowers to help people with that. The mind, body, spirit, and emotion of like your voice of your career. And maybe that's too out there of a description, but that's kind of what I feel like it is.
I think there's a limited market for people who are like, I'll give you tons of money for energy work. It's one of those things that you can include, and they'll be like, oh my God, that was so beneficial. We know it changes lives, but
Yes, it does.
it's not people. Like, what if you called your thing, is my shit good enough?
Oh my God. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, like a con.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Voiceover mentorship
Oh, that's funny.
that will help you take your next steps technically and personally. This is not, but you
No,
want
but
something that's like voiceover mentorship that will help you take your next steps personally and professionally with the confidence of a pro, or well, not of a pro, but with something. But it's like how to step out and step up, or how to take your next steps, something like that, as a confident voiceover artist, but something like that. But because that's what people are asking is, we will look at this, we will look at this, we will look at this, and we'll make sure you are up to speed and you know what I know.
And the 90 days was
Oh, it
random
doesn't
because
have to be 90 days.
is
Yeah,
there
in
like
fact,
a
better if shorter. How
shorter?
long do you need with someone, with a group of people
Gosh.
to ramp, or one person? One person. Let's just do one person, maybe. Like how long do you need? 4 hours with them?
Well, yeah, I mean I'm used to working in 1 hour chunks, and so if that's all I ever have with somebody,
Yeah, 1 hour
wow.
over how many? How many do you need?
To make like a really big difference in all areas, probably 4 sessions with them.
Okay.
I mean, I can do a depth charge if I only have an hour or two with them. Like I can really blast them, but that's less gentle.
You want it to be a thing. And you want it to feel hefty, and you want to be able to charge something for it. It's like you'll get your questions answered. We'll go through, like, you want to speak to their anxieties. What are they anxious about? And what can you be like, oh, we will totally talk about this and this and this and this and this.
I'm just pulling the number 4 like from my booty. Like I don't know if that's the right number. 90 days felt long.
how much time did they get with you in the 90 days? Was that one-on-one?
It was a group.
Okay.
So all the coachings were group. They had a 1 hour follow-up with me. And I wanted it to be 30 days out. Not all of them took me up on that. So they did get a one-on-one next steps going forward. But during it was 90 days and we met once a week, but every other week was guided by me and then every other week was peer guided. So that's how it was set up
Okay.
because it was
So
using
I
my
want
phone.
you to think about this. I want you to think about, do you want to have this? The thing about a group is you have to get everybody enrolled at once and you go for a while. The thing about one-on-one, and you can kind of fit it into your schedule, and you can just take as many people as you've got going. And you could create this as something every new voiceover person needs to go through. Like, this is the checklist, people. This is the stuff that you're worried about and confused about, that if you dial it in, is going to give you the confidence to then just focus on your work and delivery. That's the thing. That's the hook too. It's like, let's take care of all the stuff that is distracting you from giving a competitive caliber performance. That's because that's what people want to do. They want to give a high caliber competitive performance that will get them booked, mm-hmm. but they're distracted by all this other stuff.
Okay.
That's making them worried and anxious, I would assume.
I have guest lectured at the university level for some MFA students. They brought me in. And once it was 6 weeks, twice a week. So 12 sessions spread over 6 weeks, an hour each time. Mm-hmm. And the next time it was like an hour and a half for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those containers, mm-hmm. Twice a week for 6 weeks was much more thorough.
So I want you to go away. I want you to decide how much time do I need to actually give a good experience? That's okay. Not more time that I need. That's not crunchy, too little time. What okay. do I think I need?
Okay.
How much do I want to charge? What am I going to cover? Who is this for specifically?
Mm.
And then come back with all that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
Yep. And same thing with the $5,000 offer.
Okay.
What are the three? And we talked about this before. What are the three things you'd cover and blah, 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 and who needs it? Good, okay. good stuff. Great victories. So proud of you.
Thank you.
Anu.
Yeah.
Anu.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. I got your email, by the way. If you are a Cashflow Tiger, theater and social change, facilitation, consulting, community engagement, and anti-oppression work, all through your art as your multi-talented self. Amazing. Okay, so here's the interesting victory. I have no real commitments in April and can focus full time on my art for the next few months. Like a dream, everyone's dream. And I have funding to produce something. And people are excited to help me and hear what I will create. And how it's like, oh, ideal circumstances. How does that make you feel? Okay, now I'm steeped in my fears around this is so natural. It's like, oh no, that will solve everything. I get the ideal circumstances, funding. Huh? Okay, nope. Lizard comes out and goes, oh, you think that's great? Let me give you some. Okay, so she candidly, I'm just going to read these off. I have fears such as needing a producing partner or a dramaturge to help me stay on track. I'm overwhelmed. There's many areas I can research. Other areas of my life are tugging for my attention. I'm uncertain about the form it's going to take and how I'm going to find that. How do I build the team in the collaborative process? A fear of really sitting with myself to reach the full potential of this project or any project. Feeling stuck on developing the plan. Sticking to a schedule that makes sense. Yes, all of the things. So this is why these muscles, the business muscles, need to be built, because the ideal set of circumstances or winning the award isn't going to make you feel as good as having the muscles will make you feel. Then the rest is just gravy. It's the muscles that make you feel good. Not the outside circumstances. It's so good. So clarify for me, is it that this funding requires you to make something? No? Like, what's the deal? What's the circumstances?
I mean, I'll probably have, like, at the very least, like $18,000. And I can do whatever I want with it.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does that money have to be spent on a project or can be spent on your sustenance?
Whatever I want to spend it on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you had thoughts about how much money you're going to use on yourself versus how much money you're going to devote to the project?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Tell me some thoughts.
I feel like you'll be like, that's the wrong answer. Because I'm like hoarding it. I actually got it last year, part of it, and I'll get more this year. And I'm hoarding it because I'm scared of, like, it's so rare to get money to develop, just to develop something. And basically my thought was, because I have the ability to have paid myself through other projects, that I can actually use that. I don't know why I'm holding this. I can actually use this for the production of it. Mm-hmm. Once I know what form it's going to take. And once I have the collaborators and things in place, I could pay people. I could pay myself, you know, as part of that production. It's definitely somewhat of a fear response to, like, but it's also like, because it's a shift in what I've done in the past, or like, it's been a while since I've created stuff. I know that I'll be able to get more opportunities once people see some kind of product, that they can be like, oh, that's what you're talking about. Oh yeah, I love it. Da da da. More. Well, I can apply for this thing, that thing. And so it's kind of just getting there, you know? So yes, all of that.
Okay. So everybody listening to this, the funny thing about getting your ideal circumstance, this is an aside, but the funny thing about getting your ideal circumstances is it lays your mindset stuff like bare. There's like, oh, okay. There's no excuse. So, wow, this is how I think. There's no thinking that's wrong. I'm just here to offer you a different perspective. It's not like, oh, you didn't get it. It's not that. It's just like, yeah. Oh, but what about thinking about it this way? So I like what I liked that I heard that you said is that, okay, I know that by creating something of worth and merit that really showcases my thing, something like impressive, but not like, we're not talking about like jazz hands, impressive, look at what I, but just something like of quality, that likely other things will come from that if I can really, you know, offer myself in a very quality way. As a strategist, I'm like, great. I too would like you to have the end result be a high quality thing that leads to other opportunities. But my question is, do you need all of the money to do that? Or can you have that result without putting all of the money into the project? Because I think an erroneous way of thinking is like, if I put $18,000 towards the project, it's going to be an impressive project. And I'm like, I don't know. Can you do something impressive on $3,000? That's my first question, is like, how much do you, I want you to formulate the idea, not from, let me just let my mind go wild and then dial it back to 18,000. I want you to go, where can I apply my creativity so I can do something that doesn't actually cost a lot of money, but I wouldn't be able to achieve this end result unless I gave myself the space to do it in.
Right.
Because a lot of times art, the obstacle is the money, but most often I think the obstacle is just not having the space enough to create.
Yeah.
You don't need to put all this money towards the, what the project needs. You don't need to do an $18,000 project to get your end result. So first we get clear on what's the end result you want. Something impressive that leads to other opportunities. Great. How can you create an idea around a budget of $5,000? And then you have like all inclusive, this project paying people is going to cost this amount of money. I'm just pulling, we're just going to talk using 5,000, but it could be anything, even half, even if it was 9,000, but let's just say five. All inclusive, I'm going to come up with an idea that's going to be very, very quality, and it's going to cost $5,000. And that leaves me $13,000 to buy space. I'm going to spend my money on space. That is the most wonderful thing an artist can spend money on, is creating space to then create an amazing $5,000 project. And what I asked you that question, what were your thoughts about the money? Because I wanted to see if you were doing the most common thing, which is, oh my gosh, I'm so happy and kind of like, kind of guilty that someone gave me 18,000, that to pay them back and to show how thankful I am, I'm going to spend all 18,000 on the project and not on me, and thus perpetuate the thing that artists do all the time. And that result is not going to be any more impressive than something you can do for $5,000, because what's impressive is the creativity. It's not the expensive bells and whistles.
It's true.
And you already, I suspect, know how to spend 18 or an amount of money on a project. But what you don't know how to do is to take some of that money and spend it on yourself as the artist who's the creator and steering of the project. Because it's not just the creation space that you need, but you need the bandwidth to then steer the project and make it happen.
Yeah.
And that honestly requires more than half that budget, I think, personally.
Yeah.
So you're seeing that reframe right there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I'm a big believer that whatever budget you decide, and I'm encouraging you to go 9,000 or less, but whatever budget from 9,000 to zero that you decide, your fee comes out of that budget. Your fee for your work on the project comes out of the budget for the project, just like everybody else's fee, because that's another thing artists do. Oh, I'll pay the painter and I'll pay the set designer and I'll pay the lighting person, but I don't need to get paid. Yes, you do. Or else we're just perpetuating this thing that we complain about all the time. So you're going to do this differently. Your fee for your participation is included in the budget that you decide upon. The rest of the budget is technically your fee. Let me put it this way. The fee that you're paying yourself in the budget of the project is your fee for the steering and execution of the project. The rest of the money is your fee for the creation of it and the space to live through to the end of the project with sanity. Okay.
So just to be clear, so basically it's like you're saying consider, you know, a portion, 9K or less, that goes to the kind of production costs of, like, you're paying this person, you're doing
every cost, every single cost, everything, marketing, production, fees, everything.
And then another, the other portion to go towards two things, which is one, to kind of be the lead, you know, on steering, execution of the project, da, 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 all the coordination, all those things that need to happen to, you know, drive it. And then two, a portion for, right. Because if I was hiring someone else to do the writing, you know what I mean? They would have a fee, and it's a significant amount of work to one, to drive it, and also to develop, you know, it as a writer, as a, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And more time should be allotted for the creation and organization of the project, pre-production, so that you can have a tight production, efficient, cost-effective. But people skimp on pre-production, and then they're just like, oh, throwing money at all the problems that come up and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no. Wait it up front and then execute it. And keep a little bit of money in the budget, So then let's say you went with $9,000. Well, part of that $9,000 is an emergency $2,000 for the shit that will go wrong. So it's not coming out of your pocket. That's another thing artists do. It's like, oh, everything's allocated for and there's no emergency. And then I'll give of my, because I feel guilty for having this quote unquote extra money. It's not extra money. It's your creation fund. See, the project budget and your creation fund. So the first decision is like, okay, where do I kind of want those numbers to be? And I'm saying it cannot be less than 50-50 mm-hmm. for the creation part. Okay. So it's weird when you're like, I have all the time and now I have to like portion it out.
Yeah. So, and then you're like, what do I do? All right. Calm down. Just panic right. about everything.
Focus on your panic.
Use all of your time. No.
So these kind of things are best reverse engineered.
Yeah.
So if there is a deadline imposed on when this project has to be up, then you have that deadline. But if there's no, then you need to pick, when are you going to do this? And then work backwards. And please pick something where you want to pick the date to be like, the money will last me through the process to the date. So you don't want it so far out that you're like, oh, now I have to get a job. But you don't want it so crunchy that you don't have time to create it and organize it and interview the people and get the right people in the right spots. So this is great. So you need to pick the deadline and then plan your way back from there. So do you have any sense right now of when?
I feel like whatever sense I have is probably unrealistic because I actually looked at my notes and I had planned to do this last year. Mm-hmm. And I listed all of these things and it was just not. Mainly because of another consulting gig that took up all my time. But so I think it's worth me sitting down to just really think through, like write down all of the pieces, because there is also a question, because pieces of it will be collaborative, you know? And so it's kind of like, well, what's the container for that as well? Or at least who are some of the people? What are some of the questions about how much time, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my mini goal was to kind of have a draft of something to share by the end of the month or by mid-May with a small group of people who agreed to kind of advise or support me in the early stage of the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, you know, when you're in an iterative creative, I identify as one thing, but I'm starting to do all these other things that I don't, and it's just really amazing, but it's like you put it in a box, but then you took it the top off and you have time and it's like extending in all these beautiful ways that I'm like, okay, how to think, I have to readjust how I'm thinking about this, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you want to, your job is to keep making this thing be containable.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we can think, I have a budget. I have $18,000. Let's do the goal is quality and impact.
Yeah.
Like, what is your goal? And don't move your eyes from that goal. And that money doesn't necessarily mean that's not the end to that goal. Your organization. Right. Your editing of like, nope, we're not doing that. Nope, we're not doing that. And when you bring on collaborators, your job is to keep them reined in. Brainstorming sessions. Yeah. But like the end choices have to be like, guys, we are distilling this down into something that's very focused on the end result.
That's great.
And another thing that your creative part of that budget, like the stuff, the money for you. I had this client and she's a TV writer and she got a job that paid her more money than she ever had made before. And she has having conflicting things like, oh my God, but it paying me so much money. And I'm like, here's what they're paying you so much money to do. Cause she's like, well, I'm just doing this. It's like, no, they are paying you. Well, first of all, they're, as I've said before, they're paying you a proportionate piece of the pie. Okay. So they've decided this is how much money you or anybody else who would be doing this is going to get. Great. But that money is for you to move everything that in your life that will get in the way of you being available for this off the table. That money, you're part of that $18,000, and it's why I think you need $9,000 plus, is because it is to move the things out of your way so that you can focus on this project and create it, get the help you need, like to do it and enjoy it. That's what that money's about. It's you being like, well, I'm not going to let my other life need to encroach more than it, you know, will. What a lot of artists would do would be the 18,000 goes towards the project and midway through, I have to get a job. And now I'm exhausting myself to pay the rent. It's right. Like, no, no, that's what they gave you the money for. Right. So you could do this and not exhaust yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes. The most beautiful result of this project, I think, isn't the work itself. It's you role modeling how to do a piece of art and not exhaust yourself as an artist. We need more of that. Examples. If you can do that, that's the art. And you got a project out of it. You know what I mean? But that's the work of art. So you need to sit down with yourself and just start organizing this. It might be if you feel like you want to not bring someone onto the project, but just be like, can I talk to you every single week for a half hour and just help me organize what I need to do for the week? Like if you need a helper to help you get organized, get somebody to help you do that. And that could be a friend. That doesn't have to be something you pay for. But if you need that, yeah. And then figure out, okay, this is what I'm just going to go with what you said, but you can change it. This is what I want to have to start sharing and bring in the people by mid-May. Then my question is, okay, for the next 6 weeks, what do you need to move off your plate to give yourself enough space to organize and create and organize and create? And part of that creation is just you wandering around thinking. Yeah. You artists don't understand that the part of what it looks like to create is just to sit or walk and mull. And they don't give themselves that space. They're like, oh no, I have to be at the computer. It's like, no. So when you say the fear of really sitting with yourself to reach the full potential of the project, what did you mean by that?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if you were going to say something else.
No. What did you mean by that?
Just, I've always liked writing, but there is something about, it feels very lonely to mm-hmm. sit with yourself. And I realized that I do a lot of, as we all do, right? Just, what I love about theater is the, just being with people, and you get ideas from each other and you get affirmation of like an idea. And then because of someone else's interest, you're like, oh, you're right. I didn't even think about that. I could grow it. And so there's this engagement and interaction. And in our society, you have to fight so hard to set up containers, not even just for that, but even, as you said, the space to even think at all, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm realizing that I haven't created it for a while. The way I wanted to. And there is an urgency, you know, like I have to get it all in, which I don't, but also that a fear of just being by myself, to be with my ideas. I don't know. Does that explain that?
Yeah. Now, you obviously, you know you will have to have some alone time, but then can you temper that alone time with the kind of frisson of being with other people and speaking creatively? I mean, maybe it's you find a couple other people who are also working on projects and just be like, oh, can we just meet once a week just for like 90 minutes or whatever? And just like, blah, 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 talk about our stuff and what's going on, not help each other, but just like, you know, what do you guys think about this? What is it like? Blah, blah. Or maybe you gather people you think you might want to collaborate with on this project, but don't talk about the project or the budget or the thing, and just be like, can we just have some meetings over the next couple of weeks and just talk through some stuff? And I'm playing around with some stuff and I would just love to get some brainstormy stuff, but not promising anything.
Yeah.
Not even saying you're thinking about them helping you.
Just, yeah, I
just start playing.
Gotta, like, not jump those steps, because mm-hmm. I've done that and it's really gotten me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized that the two main big projects that I've done that were really, really successful, I had at least one person that was really in there with me. They were a director dramaturg, and we would meet regularly where I would just give them scripts, draft that, you know. And I don't have a person identified right now for that. And, you know, I think it also speaks to where I was. And it's like, you do need people, but do I need that in order to do this? Or can I do it and then assemble? You know what I mean? Like,
and
that's what pushed me. Yeah.
I also think in the next couple of weeks, these things will become clearer to you.
Yeah.
Once you start allowing yourself to be like, okay, I'm going to do something here and I'm going to start arranging my life so that this is actually going to come to fruition. Like, you'll start drawing the stuff in. If you start to really be like, yes, universe, I am going forward. So how many hours each day would you like to have available to put towards the creation and incubation and organization of this thing?
Can you quickly just recap the last thing you said? I think I froze on you.
Oh, how many hours each day would you like to have available for the creation of this thing, the incubation, the organization?
Got it.
So how many hours a day?
Was that a question?
Yeah. How many hours a day would you like going forward through April and May, and like how many hours?
I would like to do it full time.
Okay. So 40 hours a week or.
Yeah.
And
35.
Yeah. And like, so I want you to make a schedule.
Yeah.
It's a job. And give yourself one day off so you can do it. You can spread the hours over 6 days a week or five.
Good idea.
Because you also need time to do your rest of your life, just like any other person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do you say 8 hours?
Because that is a script that I was given from like being brainwashed in the society about a full-time job.
Right. Gosh, you're going to earn this money. Let me offer you this, because I want a metric that feels spacious.
Yeah.
I want a metric you can hit every week. So you're like, I'm doing this, but I also want something that accommodates the rest of your life. What if you did 6 hours a day, 6 days a week? You could do more. If one day you're like super on fire creatively, great. But if another day it's just like kind of more mundane stuff, 6 hours. Great. 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. You're going to do this. This is what you're going to do through the duration of this part of the incubation creation of part. So for at least April into like early May, 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. And you need to let everybody in your immediate life know that you, this is your new schedule. And then you can either have those same hours across the week, like we start at this time, we end at this time, but you could also be Mondays and Tuesdays, it's this 6 hours, and then Wednesdays and Fridays, this, like, I don't care. 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, where you put your butt in the chair or walking, but you're applying yourself to some aspect of this project. And in the first couple days, it's just going to be thoughts and organizing and brain dumping and sifting through, what is this thing feeling like it's going to be? What can I do for $4,000? What can I do for $3,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Thank you. And I wanted to show up because I was like, I want to, you know, declare before I begin, you know,
so yes, that
I can, as a way of also being lovingly accountable to myself in this. So I really appreciate what you're offering, because it's like stepping outside of the scarcity mentality that, you know, is totally the tracks of oppression in our society of like, no, you actually get to dream and think and beyond the confines of like how we've had to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for you. What a wonderful adventure to have funded. And you're going to, if you really do this, you're going to grow just a beautiful set of muscles that really honors you as an artist. And if you do it this way, you can then do your next one this way. It'll be like, oh no, this is how I work. This is what I need. And you will be role modeling that and passing it along to other people. And then you can start a business teaching people who get grants how to really apportion that money out and not be the starving artist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, course in the future.
and it's like, it makes you then, like, it invites you to, because you know, when people don't treat you well, like bosses and so forth and people in power, a lot of that is because they're not treating themselves well and they're accepting inhuman conditions, you know? So part of that is like, do for yourself. And that, yeah, it has that ripple effect and yeah, thoughtfulness towards others too. Yeah.
Yeah. You literally have a budget to create a work environment that you would want to work in. So it doesn't have to be 8 hours a day, but it can be anything you want. What feels spacious and light? I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Congratulations. All right. Yeah. Get that extra, get that next chunk of cash and put it in the bank. And smart of you to hoard it until you met me. So,
yes, yes, yes.
Brilliant.
I was just waiting for this conversation and now I can begin.
That's right. I 100% believe that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Off you okay. go. Thank right. you.
Thank you.
Liana. Liana is a hi, Cashflow Kitten. We've been talking to her about this job, some victories. This is a job that kind of an opportunity kind of fell into her lap. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll explore this. Last time I was on the call, I was preparing for an interview for a job in tech. I passed that interview. Boom. Then they gave me a home test. Pass that test. Now I'm being set up on two more interviews, which I hope is the final or near final round.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks. And of course, this is so funny because it parallels what we were just talking about. She wrote, now that the prospect of this job is getting more real, I'm getting freaked out. Of course, Lizard brain is like, oh, ideal circumstance. Let me tell you how that's not good at all. This is so normal. And so like, this is normal, but really good stuff for us to talk about. Okay. So I'm going to read what you wrote. I know I don't have the job yet, but I'm feeling overwhelmed by what ifs about it. So I could use some insight about this so that if I do get the job, I know where to start. And so that I have some more calming stories to tell myself in the meantime. So there were three things. One, the interview with the person I knew from college was the person interviewing her was someone she knew from college. Not great. Person was like, okay. So the interview was pretty jarring. He was very anxious, unfocused, hard to communicate with. And I'm nervous about this person being my manager. Are there any strategies I can use to mitigate a difficult manager? Okay, we'll talk about that. Two, I found out that they're expecting this position to be between 20 or 40 hours a week. That is a large window. I track my time, so I know that I'm spending an average of about 30 hours a week on my career now, and I'm scared that I'll be working 50 to 70 hours a week and burning myself out, or that the job will take over, my creative career will shrink. I know that there's some inefficiencies in the way that I'm working now in my creative career and some energy leaks I could plug, but how should I go about looking for more time and space in my life? We will talk about that. Number three, a weird thought that has been preoccupying me is that I'm not sure if I should tell my art manager that if I take this job, which I think is just my version of the fear that taking a non-art job would mean quitting my art. Is there any protocol on telling or not telling art world people about non-art jobs? Let's start here. So what do you mean by art manager?
Oh, like she's my creative manager. I just meant like as opposed to this dude who would be my manager at the tech job. Yeah, yeah.
But like, you mean your manager as an actor or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that you have a job?
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no real protocol. There's some like, okay, so how do we go about this? What do you think your manager's concerns would be if you were to say, hey, I'm taking this job?
Like that I won't have time to do the things she needs me to do, that I won't be able to turn things around as quickly. And I already feel like I'm not turning things around quickly enough, but that's a bigger mindset problem. That she would think that I was quitting, or that it would be taboo. There's like a story she told me once that has been rattling around in my head about like she used to rep somebody and he was like working at Trader Joe's and he couldn't feed his kids. And then he got a big role and it was because he was about to quit. Like it was weird. It was a weird, I don't know. It stuck in my head. It stuck in my head. So yeah.
Yeah. Just for you, how do you sense that having a job like this would help your creative career?
Oh, I think I would be, well, I don't know. I think it could create a feeling of more spaciousness and less stress about money. I think it could. I actually like Notion a lot. Like I really like the program and I like using it and I liked doing the test even. Like, so I think it could be fun and maybe I would have fun. So yeah, maybe that.
So if you had this fun thing in your life that you enjoyed doing that was paying you money, so you didn't necessarily have to have money from the industry, so that when you went into auditions, you were just there to like play some more, because that's what you now do in life is play at work and you don't need the money. And so you're totally available and then you book the jobs. Mm-hmm. So what if you book a job? How do you know enough yet about how this job functions? Yeah, you don't. So no. You don't know yet the flexibility you'd need to have in order to do. So tell your mind, tell your little lizard, I know you're freaking out, but we don't actually have the information we need yet. And I promise you, I'm not going to say yes until I absolutely know the deal. Mm-hmm. So you might want to like make yourself a little list of questions whenever they pop into your head about like, I need to ask about this. I need to ask about this. Because one of the things that I would want to know is, okay, so am I starting out at 20? How will more time be added? Are you just going to add more things to my job? Are you going to how is that growth going to happen? Do you expect it to happen over the course of weeks or months or years? And then what's the flexibility? Am I working on your schedule or am I working on my schedule? Because I might be able to accommodate more time if I have more flexibility. So this is all part of the finding out the info and the negotiating how it rolls. And I don't give a shit how we do it, everybody else works. Oh, I don't care. I'm great. And you should hire me. And I love this stuff and I will do such a good job. And this is what I need. Just because they do everything this and no, look how many companies like, you can't work from home. And it's like, nope, you can work from home. In fact, forever. Therapist, no, I cannot possibly treat you, oh no, please still give me money. We'll do it by Zoom. Yeah. I don't care what they're doing for the rest of the company. They are negotiating with you and you're an amazing person who digs this shit. Like no one is more interested in this than you. And you can tell them that. You might find people who are faster. You might find people who can work 40 hours on your schedule, but you will not find somebody who's more fun and interested in this and will love working for your company. Mm-hmm. And that is valuable energy to have on board. It's all about you reframing it for them. Because if they come at you, if our priorities is 40 hours a week and this, and you doing the same as everybody else, I'm like, oh, really? Because if your priorities were like this, then you could get everything you want, really want. Mm-hmm. You don't really want me to work 40 hours a week. What you really want is for me to deliver whatever you need me to deliver. Even if I'm doing that at midnight in my slippers, what do you care? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, let's all remember, you don't need this job. You didn't even seek this job. This job just fell into your lap. I think it's here to help you develop muscles. And if you get it, you might like it. You might hate it. This guy might be a total weirdo. We don't know if you'll even like it. You might quit after 2 weeks, which by the way, you're welcome to do. This is all an adventure. And it is far more valuable to experiment with seeing if you can get what you want out of an interview negotiation than it is for you to get a job. You didn't need this job. You can go work at Trader Joe's and then quit and make your manager really excited.
Yeah.
So back to your manager. As your duty is to take on a job that you can finagle some flexibility in so that you can deliver to your manager, because you will have to decide, what's the top priority, my acting or this job? It can't be equal. It has to be, I will sacrifice this for this. Mm-hmm. Because if, Spielberg wants you in Prague for 3 months, you're going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So as long as the acting's up here, then it's like, I will do whatever I need to do at this job thing to make sure I have turnaround time. I can go, film for a week somewhere, including quitting the job. Mm-hmm. If the job, take the job. And then if it interferes and they're assholes about it, quit. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, this is fine. Mentally, don't get tied to the money. That's called golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
Let's do it. It's a mental, golden handcuffs are mental.
Mm-hmm.
When we started having this discussion, you were not in a dire situation. You did not come to me saying, I need work. If that was the case, we'd be having a completely different strategy. I'm suggesting this to you because of the situation you're in. Okay. So yeah. So just decide, this job's not going to interfere. She will never even know I have this job. You're not hiding. I wouldn't, knowing your manager is a little sensitive about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to worry about it. She also doesn't need to know whatever you do to pay the rent. Your deal with her is get me opportunities and I will give you everything you need in a quick turnaround time to the best of my ability. And I will be available. Your manager just wants you to be available, available to do an audition, available to turn it around, available to work, available. So as long as you can be available, you can do whatever you want over here, including having 16 jobs, as long as you can be available. Mm-hmm. So decide it's not going to be a problem and then not let it be a problem.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
So I wouldn't mention it because I think she's a little sensitive towards that and you don't need her to worry about it because it's not going to be a problem. Yeah. Okay. So here's what's also not going to happen. You're not going to work 50 to 70 hours a week. Like, you don't have to do that to yourself. Like, you're only going to take this job if it sounds like a really good thing to add to your life.
Yeah.
Right now it smells like a good thing. I haven't, you know, detected an odor that I'm a little worried about. So it smells so far so good. And you never will really know till you're in it and doing it. And then you're like, whoa, no, I don't want this. And then you get out. So right now, smells fine. You decide, oh, I'm not taking this into my life and overworking for it. Mm-hmm. If I can only give it, if you decide, okay, I can tighten up what I do for my career, but you need to get better at the turnaround, unless it's ridiculous, because sometimes it's completely ridiculous and it's like, mm-hmm. you just do your best. I can probably dial my efficiency for my career to 25 hours. And then that means I have this much time to give to the company. So they either want this starting me out at 20, but I have a ceiling at this much. And by the way, it might be that you don't necessarily have to tell them your ceiling. You might work faster than what they've experienced in the past. You might do so much great stuff. They're like, we don't care. We don't care how many hours you work. Just please keep doing whatever you're doing. Like, you don't know that yet. My favorite thing to do is to go in a job and all I had to do was over deliver from the person who was before me. Not hard usually. And once I was like, woo, you know, really impressing them, by the end, and I'm not like trying to flip my hair and say, well, look at me, but my bosses were like, what's your schedule this week? When can you work this week? Because I was acting too. And I would just give them a schedule every week. Oh, this is what I think. Because they just wanted me as much as they could get me. That's what you want from this job, to be like, oh God, we'll take whatever you can give us, Ms. Pipes. Like, you know, just whatever. You tell us. So, you know, start at 20. I would ask them questions like, so how do you think the growth? What do you think of this? And they're like, what do you think about it growing? Oh, we'll see. You know, I might be able to, like, just, you know, don't promise anything, but, you know, and I'm just making sure. So you're just going to decide, I'm not going to burn myself out. I'm going to do this many hours for my career, which leaves me this much time for this. Hopefully they hire me at 20. We'll see how it creeps up and deal with it later. Mm-hmm. That's how I would do it. Mm-hmm. And okay, so this guy, now do you know that he would be your manager if you got the job?
I'm still so on. I tried to ask like questions about how it would look and how it would go. And the response that I got was just, like, so baffling and confusing. So I'm not sure that he would be my direct manager or not. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. But let's just say, because this is a really interesting thing that a lot of people have to contend with. Oh my gosh, here's this person who seems very, let's just say he wasn't just having a bad day. He is really anxious and unfocused and really hard to communicate with. And oh my God, he's my direct report. How do you handle him? So with somebody like that, you want to get very clear. And if you cannot get clarity from them, you go above them. You go, well, I'm not really sure. Can we have a meeting? You don't have to go above their, around their back, but just include their higher up in a meeting with the three of you. I just want to be really clear. And what you're getting clear on is, what are the results you expect from me? And how are you, what is the criteria by which you are judging my work? Mm-hmm. So that this person can be Looney Tune, but you can keep track of like, okay, well, I've done everything that they are judging me by. Therefore, if there's an issue here, it's probably a weird personal issue stemming from them. And I can document that and like protect myself. But a lot of people go into jobs and they're just like, okay, I guess you'll tell me what to do. And someone random starts training them. And then it's like, okay. And then they're just like waiting for their first performance review to be like, I don't even know what they're looking at. Then, and it's just vagueness. And then you go into the performance review and they're notoriously vague and it's all just vague. And that's why companies are like, you can't work from home. We have to at least know your butt's in a chair for 8 hours. And we need to monitor your fucking keystrokes and take pictures of you front. Like what? How about you get clear on the results I deliver? I deliver those results and we're all happy. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. But anyway, but that's because people don't want to do the harder work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who are managers have never been trained to manage. They were good at their job and then they were just keep getting promoted into the wrong positions. It's a kerfuffle and you're not going to fix it. But the best thing to do is go in and get very clear. What are the criteria by which you are evaluating my performance at this job? Get a list. And if they're like, oh, well, then go, well, what would be the indicators that I'm not doing a good job that would be red flags to you? Let's reverse engineer it. What would you not like to see? And then I'll avoid, you know? Yeah. And then we can, if you get the job and it turns out he's the manager and you get the criteria and it turns out it's still weird, we can talk about that and how to handle the weirdness.
Mm-hmm. Oof, thank you.
But otherwise, yeah, that person is there just to make sure you're doing your job. And as long as you're both clear on how they're going to evaluate it, then you don't need them much except to ask questions. Hopefully. <You know. laughs> Mm-hmm. But we can deal with bring back the weirdness. I'd love to deal with the weirdness. So now that I've dumped all that, how do you feel? What's going on in your brain?
That's really, really helpful. I think that the golden nugget of like, I'm not going to take this unless it's actually a good opportunity thing is really like a weight, because I think that I was feeling obligated for no reason or like just locked in. Like it was like, I had to say yes. And I think that like, when I first jumped on these calls, I had more runway than I currently have. And like my runway is dwindling and I'm getting stressed. And I think it's making me feel like I have to take whatever I'm offered and I don't. And I think especially because I don't like the scary stories won't stop. Like I'm like, they're going to offer it and it's going to be $7 an hour and you're going to feel like you have to take it. Like, I think that, yeah, I'm definitely identifying that lizard brain is running away, but it's really nice to have the, like, if it's a bad job, I'll say no. Like, I'll just say no. Like that's feeling really, really liberating and helpful. And yeah, I think that the, like, I'll do some work on like things I can do as a person to like, I had to like take a walk after the interview. It was so weird. Like I had to take a walk outside and call my mom. Like it was really, really jarring. But I can take walks whenever I need to take walks. Like
say, oh my God, but you took a walk and you called your mom. Brilliant. That's called handling it and processing it.
Yeah, that is really
now. I'm very glad to hear that. If you feel like your runway is like, oh God, it's getting, you know, the runway, you eat the runway, everybody does. You can start looking for other jobs. Start looking for other jobs while you're waiting on their 18 interviews.
Yeah.
Because that will loosen you up around this job. And just it'll push the energy too of like, okay, I'm looking for more money to come in, universe. I'm going to do what I can do, which is look for some jobs and we'll see. Mm-hmm. I would do that because it will loosen up around here. If you really feel you're tight, the other thing you can do is go, okay, lizard brain, in 3 weeks, I will start looking for more work. Mm-hmm. So relax for 3 weeks. I'm going to eat this runway and totally enjoy it because I have enough, and in like set a date so that you can at least not worry, start your worry at a certain date. Because if you don't actually need to worry now, don't worry now.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Oof. And yeah, the idea of looking for another, the thing that I was, as I've been like playing with different numbers, because I didn't have an hourly rate before, like I didn't know what to divide by. But now that I have that range, I've been playing with like, what is the rate that I would need for this to feel good? And like, one of the things I went back to is because I do all my freaky little tracking, like I had taken a job. I'm a playwright and I had taken a playwriting job that I had thought of as like, that's a shitty job. Like that's the kind of job you shouldn't be taking anymore. La la la. But then when I looked at the numbers, I was making like $50 an hour, and it was like over a long time and like complicated in all the ways that it was complicated. But the other thing that came to mind is like, oh, should I just ask for more commissions? Like, should I just go to my agents and say, get me more commissions? Like, is that a better idea? And it might not be, because it's also, I don't know, but like knowing that there are other avenues that I can explore if the number isn't what I want it to be. Yeah. I really do feel like they're going to offer me $7 for some reason. So yeah, that's all really helpful to know and good to
have. Have you just decided the number below which you're like, oh no.
I keep thinking about what my friends are making, and I know that that's the wrong thing to do. I feel like below,
depends on what your friends are making. What are your friends making?
My friends are making like $24 an hour.
Okay.
I would like to make like 50 an hour, because that's what I'm making on the bad playwriting jobs. So like, I would like to see a number higher than 50. And I'm thinking like 50 after expenses, or like 50 after taxes.
Okay.
Which would be like 75. This also might be a premature question, but I'm wondering, like, in the sort of negotiation when they give their number and I give my number back time, is it fair to say like, well, because this is a contract position, I have to account for taxes and my health insurance premium will go up, like, or is that the over-explaining thing where I should bite my tongue instead?
You don't need to go into the weeds. Unless literally someone's like, I don't understand why you wouldn't be grateful for this amount. It's like, well, taxes, healthcare, what else do you need to know? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So I don't think they're going to at you like that, but yeah. So you're looking for, if it's 20 hours, you're looking for more than $1,000 a week. $1,000 is $50 an hour, you know, net.
Yeah.
So you'll see, and maybe you'll take it. Maybe the flexibility and the other things will be like, oh, okay, well, I'll take 40 or 45. Like, who knows? We really don't know yet what's enough information, but it's good to have a little point for yourself of like,
An anchor. Yeah. Whew. Thank you.
So you can also tell your lizard brain, look, I'm going to see this job through. And then if I don't get it, I'll start looking for something for other income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's really helpful. Yeah. That lizard brain knows what to say. It sure knows what to say, but yeah, this is really, really helpful to have just something to say back to it. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. My lizard brain knows what to say too. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That was such a good, those were meaty questions. Thank you, everybody who turned it in. Thank you for being here. I hope it's filtered in. Hi, Kate. That's Ask Kate, everybody in my center square, as she should be.
Hi, everybody.
Good to see you. I think we meet again next Monday. Yes, next Monday. All right. Take care, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.